Do you yearn to be chosen, loved, esteemed, cared for, just because? Not because of something you have done, just because. Then devotion 6 of the Bible study, God Loves You and Me, is worth the time to listen to. Theme or title of this devotion is, God is our loving Father. In this devotion, I'm going to teach about how, when, and why God our Father has adopted us and redeemed us. This devotion will be in 2 parts. The first one will talk about God adopting us as His daughters. Beloved daughters, may I add. Part 2 will talk about God redeeming us, His redeeming love for us. Oh Lord, some of us have had fathers who just really didn't know how to love us or love us well. But You love us and You love us well. Let all of us see that in this devotion. Amen. Part 1. Christians are God's adopted children. The moment you became a Christian, you became a child of the God of the universe. Have you ever really thought what that means? But why would God want us to be His children? Is it because we're pretty terrific? Is it because we can do a lot of stuff for God? No. Frankly, we were His enemies when He died for us. God wants us to be His children because He loves us. Period. No strings attached. 1 John 3:1a says, "See how great a love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." Romans 8, love that chapter, talks about how God sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, which enables us to be His adopted children. What the Spirit does is He gives us an eternal family relationship with God, an awareness of that relationship. In other words, we know we are God's because the Spirit is within us. So the Spirit's very important to us. If you're interested in more info about the Spirit, listen to Devotion 4. Romans 8:15 through 17 sums up what I just said to you about the Spirit. It says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons or daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." What is Paul meaning in these verses in Romans? Well, he's talking about adoption. So we need to understand the Roman adoption system, because that's what he had in mind. The first step in the adoption process was that the child would be symbolically sold by the old family to the new family. Then, if the adoption was legally sanctioned, the child would lose all rights to the old family while gaining full rights to the new one. The child would have all debts canceled from his past and would become co-heirs to his father's estate. The child would in all ways become the child of the new father. So as Christians, what does this adoption system mean to us? We are adopted into God's family from our old way of life. Now, this old way of life was living in a state of slavery to sin. Since we lived in this state of constant sin against God, we were accruing an awful debt. If you remember the debt of one sin from Genesis 2 and 3, is death. However, Jesus paid the debt we owed to God. He also bought or redeemed us out of our old life, which enables us to be adopted into God's family. Our redemption could only be accomplished by the suffering and death of the God of the universe, our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of his death, we become God's adopted daughters. Starting right now, at the moment of your salvation, the moment you believed in Jesus Christ. We have many promises and blessings on this earth, but oh, wait until we see Jesus face to face. Wait until you see the blessings, the riches, beyond our comprehension on what God has in store for us in eternity. Application questions. Since Jesus paid the debt from your sin, do you think you are precious to him? What do you think of the fact God wanted to adopt you? Does it make you feel loved and adored? Did you know Ephesians 1 talks about God choosing us to be his adopted daughters and sons? Pretty awesome thought. So let's reason it out for a moment here. When we think of adopting a child, we think of a parent choosing to love and make that child that wasn't his or hers, their own now. God, who spoke all things into being, who is sovereign over the entire universe, chose you to be his beloved daughter. How do you feel about God choosing you? Do you think that proves he loves you? I'm going to end this section with a personal story. Many, many years ago, because I'm 54, my mother was pregnant with me. Normally, pregnancy is a joyous time, but the idea for her wasn't. Back then, there was no such thing as abortion, which whether she would have aborted me or not, I don't know. But she did not want to handle a child. So not too many years ago, I found a letter she had written to her father telling him that she wanted to adopt me out, even though she was married to my father. Just so you'll know, she did not adopt me out. She had to handle me. So the idea of adoption touches my heart right now. The idea of God choosing me to be his daughter, wanting me to be his daughter, as you can see, means a lot to me. Oh, ladies, no one else may want us, but God our Father does. Jeremiah 31:3 beautifully explains what I just told you. God says to us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness or unfailing love to be my daughter. Second thought, or second part. God redeemed us to adopt us. They kind of go together, redeeming and adoption. What do you mean they kind of go together? They do. Now some of you, not all of you, some of you know what the word redeem means, but let's talk about it a few minutes. The idea of redeeming or redemption comes from three Greek words. The first word means to buy or purchase or pay a price for something. The second means to purchase out of the market. The third means to loose or set free. You might be thinking, what in the world do these words have to do with my relationship with God? They sound like a wild lose all my money because I purchased too much and didn't want to take anything back shopping spree in some marketplace. What's so funny in a lax, I mean very lax way, redemption could mean that. But let's get serious. What does redemption mean in the framework of our salvation? I think a key question here is, why do we need to be redeemed? And then we will really appreciate the fact we were redeemed. The first reason we needed to be redeemed was we were in slavery to sin. So we could say we were in the slave market of sin. And our slave master was sin. Because of our sin, we were separated or dead to God. In other words, we didn't have a relationship with God. We were separated from Him. We were also bound for eternal punishment, hell. We were in a sad, sad situation, weren't we? The awful truth about our situation It would take the death of God Himself to buy us out of our slavery to sin, to redeem us. 1 Peter 1:18-19 sums up what I just said. But let me paraphrase this verse for you. Knowing that you were not redeemed with checks, credit cards, stocks and bonds, jewels, gold and silver, but you were redeemed with precious blood from the God of the universe, who was sacrificed for you as a lamb would be, innocent, unblemished lamb would be. He did this to redeem you. Let's make this personal. Jesus' redeeming death allowed God to adopt you into His family, to make you His, of course, loved daughter, His princess. You will never go back to that slave market of sin again. You are His eternally. I think we would all agree that's redeeming love. Here's another important application. Jesus has redeemed us, like I say. But we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to believe in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. That's what gets us redeemed. That's what makes us a Christian. Jesus redeeming us brought us back to freedom of choice. I do believe I need to explain that. Before you're a Christian, all you can do is serve your slave master, sin. You're enslaved to sin. But after you become a Christian, then you can choose to serve God or sin. Just like Adam and Eve had that choice back in Genesis 3. However, what we all have a tendency to do, even though we were redeemed, we choose to serve sin instead of God again at times. Here's an illustration that seems crazy, but I want to tell you, it is true. I think this illustration will underline what I'm trying to tell you. Now, there was this young woman. She was a sex slave. She had a slave master, or we would call him a pimp, who completely controlled her. Then one day someone came along and bought her away from her pimp, out of slavery. They redeemed her not to use her or abuse her, but instead to make her their cherished adopted daughter. And they did. However, as time went on, she decided slavery wasn't so bad after all. So she willingly chose to go back into sexual slavery when she felt like it. She also allowed this awful pimp to have power over her, when in reality he had none. I know. We're all thinking, how dysfunctional can you get? Oh, ladies, we do the same thing when we choose to serve sin instead of our Father God. I think what happens at times is we just forget we have a responsibility with our freedom from sin as Christians. Romans 6 tells us how foolish and harmful it is as Christians to choose to serve sin instead of God. It's just like that illustration about that gal that chose to allow the sex slave industry and her pimp to control her when she didn't have to. I think most of you right now are thinking, I do not want to serve sin. I want to serve God, but I need help. I can't do it. God knows you can't do it. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is our perfect example of how to serve the Father. You need to remember that Jesus is God himself, and that God has never asked us to do anything that he has not done first. Matthew 20:28. Woe does this verse humble me. Gives me a reality check of the heart when I don't feel like serving God or others. It says, Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life to redeem many people. Another verse I'm thinking of too is Ephesians 1:7. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins. Oh, ladies, he served us by dying for us. Our sins are abundantly forgiven because of him. Think of what he suffered because of our sins. Can't we serve him instead of sin? Another angle to what we were redeemed from is, before we were Christians, we were in bondage to some type of law. Hang in there with me. This is important. In other words, we tried to be right before God by our own works. However, since we were in slavery to sin, we would never live up to God's standards. We were what you would call law breakers. Nevertheless, you guessed it, Jesus did something we could never do. He fulfilled God's righteous law for us. How did he do this? He was born a Jew, which meant he lived under the Old Testament law his entire life and never broke even one of them. He died under the penalty of the law for our lawbreaking, not his. In dying for our sins, he paid our guilty sentence, which enabled him to redeem us from any claim a law had against us for not following it. Can you imagine, what if I killed someone? Got mad at some woman and killed her. And I was sentenced to death by lethal ejection, whatever. And just before I was to be put to death, a man steps in and says, I will take what the law has judged against her. And so he dies for me. That's what Christ did for us. We were murderers, liars, etc. And Jesus literally took our spot, took our death sentence, so we would be free from any penalty of the law. Wow. He could have just paid the penalty for our sin. That would have been enough. But he loves us so much, he wanted us in his family, where we have been set free from the need to follow any works to satisfy God to avoid eternal punishment. Why? Because, I think you guessed it again, Jesus did all the work that was ever needed for us to be right with God. I'm sure some of you who are listening to this audio, or maybe all of you, have been in a relationship. Maybe your family, maybe a spouse, maybe a friendship, maybe in a church, maybe at work, where you will not be esteemed. You will not be chosen. You will not be wanted. You will not be loved if you don't live up to a list of do's and don'ts. And if that isn't bad enough, most of the time the list isn't written, it's unwritten, so you really don't know what people want out of you to be loved and esteemed. I think you understand what I'm getting at. I hope you realize God is not like that. So as his daughters, ladies, we can throw away our list of do's and don'ts, trying to work our way to God's heart. We don't have to. He already loves us. Now we live by not a list of do's and don'ts, but by faith, trust in him. We follow God because we love him. He's our loving father, not out of legalism. We now have the power we need to follow him because he lives within us. Remember, ladies, you are his princess if you want to be, by believing in him. O Lord, help us to believe in you if we haven't, and if we have believed in you, let us love you, our loving Father.